It is Saturday, December 14th, 2024. It's about 4 p.m. And I am out and about doing errands. And this is my input regarding my spiritual entanglement with a young lady who thought that I was her Godhead and then had misgivings and then plunged into me anyway because I asked for it. Even though I didn't know I had asked for it, but I asked for something and I didn't know what I was asking for apart from stop abusing me, stop fucking this other person, you're still connected to me, this is fucked, stop this, don't abandon me, blah, blah, blah. Just the ignorant, and I mostly well-intentioned pleadings of a novice spiritual aspirant who had no fucking idea what he was dealing with. Yeah, what I do when I have moments of clarity, and I'm not even saying that this is clarity right now, but I try to provide a little window into what I've been dealing with lately. And this is the latest. So with that being said, 2 minutes in now, here's what I want to share. This last couple of weeks now mark I'm always saying unprecedented, you know, melodramatic me, but I would say unprecedented attack on my brain. And this is not just the latching on to my medulla area and disturbing my sleep or seeking to do that or, you know, drain energy from my central nervous system, which is an ongoing issue regardless, but, 2 weeks ago, Sunday night, I believe, after my first round of sleep, and so this is, especially since the succubus has been operating in me, I wake up after every hour or hour and a half. Typically it's about 75 minutes, something like that, plus or minus 10 minutes. I wake up, I get up, go to the bathroom, like almost a cup of fluid, and drink water. Not a lot. I sip some water, depending on if I feel parched or not. And hang on here. And it was after the first round of sleep. Maybe I got up around 10 p.m. and I awakened to the most extraordinary pain in my frontal lobes. And most especially between them, deeper inside. And I'm not sure what exactly is down there, corpus callosum, but my bet, my money would be placed on an etheric attack, everything she had on the seat of my self-consciousness, given that I've not transcended or moved to the next level, that is, you know, residing at my sinoatrial node, which I believe is the spark, the divine spark in us. And, you know, that's where the soul resides. And so I'm right now, you know, my locus of awareness on the conscious level, because I haven't merged with the unconscious or whatever it is that you call that untapped, that untapped potential within the body that animates us, that gives us life, that's, you know, anyways, this, you know, the Godhead, etc. I'm up there in the brain, like most people, there And that's basically the hypothalamus, the pituitary gland, something in that range, that area. And she tried to break it. That's why else would you attack it? I mean, she and I was reeling. It was not until mid-afternoon, 18 hours, 17 hours later that, you know, the pain was like 75% reduced or something like that, or half reduced, you know, more than that. But it was like, I was plagued all day with pain in the brain. Just the residual effects of that savage attack. And if I'm going to be attacked, it's generally it's, that first round of sleep, or, you know, she's up at 4 a.m. or something and really goes after me, it's 2 a.m. my time. And just works over my body, you know, wherever it is she wants to move that energy. And that energy, it's so alien and obvious conscious direction. It's going into, you know, my hips, and it's moving here and it's moving there. And it's just far more obvious and all pain compared to, growth. You know, the energy that drives growth of children, you know, these growing pain, although that can be pretty intense, but that's usually localized to your joints, and it's not affecting, you know, God knows everything else. So there was an attack there, and then since that time, there has been, in the last 2 weeks, I would say at least a half dozen nights where it was iffy that I would be able to fall asleep because there was an alien tension in my brain. And I'm not talking about just messing with my medulla area, which has been a chronic issue. It's deeper and at the higher levels of my functioning. And I've been close to, you know, they say pulling the trigger and taking a trazodone, but I don't like trazodone. God knows what effects that trazodone has on us that we're not measuring, that we don't have data for. We, meaning the pharmaceutical industry, or, you know, that 0.1% of the scientific population that is not compromised by Department of Defense or big pharma funding monies, for their, quote, research, which is just confirmation of a product or a strategic objective by, you know, the criminal elites or whoever they are, the fallen angels, the whatever it is, you know, the evil ones. I'd be lying in bed for an hour, sometimes more, just agitated. And then luckily, usually, I've been able to fall asleep. But last night it was pretty bad. I got up maybe at 1 a.m. and the tension in my brain, I got out of bed for an hour, you know, I tried to do some work at the computer, but that was a mistake. But I figured, well, why not? You know, I used to do that sometimes. It did not help. My brain is agitated and bringing attention, attempting to focus my mind causes pain right now. And I think it's sort of probably a coordination between the right and left hemispheres, a sort of a deeper focus that has an energetic signature. If you were to look at an MRI image or something. what I have been feeling in probably half or more of the last of the nights of the last 2 weeks is movement of negative energy into around my frontal lobes in deeper areas and more surface areas, kind of like if you're considering my brain like an energy bag with, you know, this waffle texture. This, it was like a sloshing around of energy, but it was like a goo, an unctuous secretion, but it's just a heavier and darker and obstructing energy that has a more of a sense of weight and malice than Kundalini, you know, Mother Shakti, or your own native energy, if you're not a conscious conduit for the greater subtle force of which we are a part, and to which we are dedicated to serve, because the Holy Spirit is God's active principle. And when it's sloshing around in my frontal lobes, it's also like falling down and pushing against my eyes. So not only am I squinting frequently because there was a corresponding intensification of the etheric envelope, that is sort of this subtle, my subtle projection, which is, you know, typically maybe, you know, 6 inches to a foot around me, in that she is just like an anvil squashing, sitting on, providing a cinch to, you know, lasso and secure and overly tighten all around my body. There's that aspect too that causes pain whenever it sort of has a more strong touch to my physical skin. There's pricks of pain here and there that, you know, elbows, deltoids, biceps, knees, feet, etc. These pricks, and that's from, I believe, because it's at the surface of my body, my physical body, that I feel, that's from her astral envelope, this black cloud that surrounds me that just surrounds me doggedly, and that is, it thickens and intensifies and functions most maliciously when she is attending to it, when she is doing her austerities, which means just focusing on me, probably not eating too much, and not thinking of other guys, and just completely being consumed by her righteous hatred of me. And my righteous desire for freedom and of subordination to God must gain the upper hand. And I'll tell you, it is one hell of a hill to climb to defeat her. And I have not, I've come close, but close is not good enough. And that's only been on a couple of occasions. Most of the time, I've just been outgunned, outmaneuvered, outsmarted. And a lot of that has been her youthful enthusiasm. And the fact that I believe that her father is paying her fucking bills. And so some of my prayers have been, Lord, please complicate this girl's life. Please put more bills in her life. Please, you know, I'm not wishing harm to her, but I am wishing for a divided consciousness. You know, let her work instead of, you know, I think I've estimated a few times, maybe 3 days a week, 6 hours a day, because I know, I feel, you know, I feel shut down and helpless and unfunctional. I know I've got her full attention, and I can't, and she's not able to do that when she is socializing or when she is, usually when she's working. I don't know what she's doing, if she's working in, the fields of California, and the farm workers, because she is, she lives in a poor migrant area of California, migrant farm worker area, and was a student I had contact with some years back, not a student now, she's an adult, for what it's worth, but she's actively entangled with me, and that is a, there's a lot more to say about that, but so my hope has been that she's not able to sustain the malicious attention. I want more energy directed towards her work so that she has to sleep more soundly and that she has fewer hours during the day with which to idle about, loll about, daydreaming as she intensifies this subtle anchor that is embedded in me. God help me, please. Please, God, deem me worthy of salvation. Because I don't feel it right now. I mean, I'm still attracting women, young women, early 20s, mid 20s, lots of pretty decent ones. If I were around, women in their early 30s that were, available and fit, but I'm really not. Most of those women have moved out of this area that I'm living in, seeking a more economic opportunity, or they're fat now, they've got children, they've succumbed to the lower common denominators that permeate this lower socioeconomic area that I'm working in of the islands. And so, I need to find a very special person to kind of share this, all this crud that I'm disclosing here. There's no way I can hide that. And, oh my God. Yeah, that'll be a whole nother entry someday, or, book I have to write on, how do you involve a significant other when your soul is intertwined with another woman, another partner. That is just a bit much for, I would think that would be a bit much for about 99% of women to deal with. But you never know. You never know. So let me think, so there's that pain, the attack on my pituitary gland. Maybe there's been some mild attacks before, but not like this. She took a sledgehammer to it, and it's stood strong. I do believe that is my strongest connection to God here, or one of them, is my pituitary gland. It still believes that it has clear access to God, and very clear. I'm not saying the most clear, but very clear. I'm getting very clear guidance. And so, you know, I oscillate between annoyance at what I'm going through, but not really despair. I should be feeling more despair because my physical health is waning. I would say nowadays, probably half the days I get home from school now, I am not able to muster the energy to work out. And so I might do 30 minutes of step aerobics or something like that. Whereas previously, just a couple years ago, I was able to do a 2-hour mountain walk, or an intensive hour and a half walk. And now I don't have that right now. I'm maybe at best I'm doing an hour of step aerobics, and if I do the mountain or hill walk, it's at a much less intense pace. Anyways, my body is more sapped, and the pain in my feet, this devitalization of my extremities, has grown. It's not just a tension in a joint that I can kind of work out by stretching or, you know, doing various stretches or movements and kind of get rid of it. Now it's kind of persistent despite what I do. And even if I kind of reduce that localized tension, there's still a broader tap of my body that also is associated with this neuropathy in my feet, and now emerging in my hands. And I will say also that this past Monday, I was able to fast 20 hours, but I call that intermittent fasting, where you might just have one meal a day, and you limit your eating window to 4 to 8 hours, 4, 6, 8 hours. So you get into some ketosis. That is when your body is breaking down ketones or fat and digesting damaged cells rather than burning sugar or glycogen as its energy source. And when you get into ketosis, which is the burning of fat, which is meaning you haven't had any food for, 16 hours or 24 hours or more. Sometimes it takes a couple of days to really shift into that full other mode of energy sourcing. It is, my experience is that it, I mean, the books say that, yeah, that's where you are autolysis, you're breaking down cancer cells, damaged cells, you're eating up, and you know, the amyloidosis, that is these misfolded proteins that are caused by damaged DNA in your body, or the spike proteins that are generated by the genetic alterations of us through, that was the purpose of the mRNA injections that are not vaccines. And these spike proteins cause these enormous rubbery clots in people's circulatory systems that are causing strokes and heart attacks, and also driving an acceleration of Alzheimer's, which is also the misfolded proteins and the in the brain, and damage, various forms of damage to the brain. And so ketosis helps all of that. But what I found is that night, I think strictly on account of my 20 hours of not eating, despite having three or four bouts of just completely fake but very intense hunger or irritation along my esophagus, including feeling like there was something stuck in my esophagus when I hadn't eaten anything for 20 hours, just this crawling, moving irritation that you just want nothing but to swallow food down there to just push it down, and the burping and these other things that go on when my stomach is being irritated, etc. I'm losing it here. I would say there was an 80% reduction in the movement of negative energy in my body that night. Especially this hot, painful energy moving down my thighs into my knees and then down along my shins or calves and then down into my feet. I feel it, just this hot, painful energy plow into my feet. And this happens when I'm eating, and I frequently am eating and eating and eating just on autopilot, just trying to savagely ground my energy into my body. But what I find is the heat, if you have overeaten before, you can sweat. It generates heat. Your stomach generates heat from all that blast of energy that you're getting through those initial whatever the body does to digest that, and you press wine grapes, and there can be multiple pressings. That first pressing of the food in your GI tract, and you generate a big hit from that. And that hit, that normally in the past would be all it took to launch me on a 2 or 3 hour hike, would just be, some spoonfuls of honey and peanut butter, or honey and ghee and peanut butter, or almond butter, or, a slice of pecan pie, or, maybe a tuna sandwich, whatever it is, probably it's typically sugary stuff, but it can be, scrambled eggs and potatoes. It can be, chocolate. I mean, whatever it is. But that first press of energy coming out of me seems to be siphoned off, or the energy that is liberated does more to feed the negative movement of this etheric energy in my body than it does to motivate my brain and body in a positive manner, towards work completion for school, cognitive activities, or the physical activity of, hiking, doing 1,000 feet of elevation gain, or is that it? Yeah, I like to get 1,000 or 1,500 feet of elevation gain every night. That is, I usually like to be in a hiking area where I can get that done. Hopefully in 30 to 45 minutes, get 1,500 feet done. Maybe it takes an hour, I don't know. It depends on how steep it is. But, what it does is it immediately starts, I get all these hot movements of energy in my body that then cause the gears within me. It's throwing sand into these gears. I had on Thursday, I had a work day was given to me to complete special ed paperwork, and I got up after maybe a half hour of sitting, and I had pain and like a freezing daggers in my right ankle, and the top of my right foot that was persistent. I mean, I tried to shake it out. I limped around a bit. I walked slowly so it didn't look like I was, an invalid. But because as I sat there, I started just shoving these late July brand of flaxseed tortilla, organic tortilla chips with flax seeds in them. They're really good, but you don't need to have, how many did I have? I don't know, 6 ounces of them, 8 ounces of them. I mean, I had a lot of them. And that just, that's just pure carbs, pure, converts to sugar in the body. And it gave the entity, this spiritual interloper, all the energy she needed to basically freeze up one of my joints. And I think that's the crucible that I'm in right now, where this is God's providing me with access to the levers of this process. If I eat, and I eat with abandon, or without abandon, or whatever the phrase is, I'm going to pay a big price, and it's going to be the takeover of my body by this subtle energy that is destroying me. But what I felt this past week's Monday night was I listened for the first time, I would say, in, golly, maybe since May? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe since May. It might have been 3 to 6 months, maybe more, since I had actually stood at the computer and had sufficient mental clarity, and a mental clarity that was accessing my emotional well-being, my emotional energy, and I was attending to a really great Muddy Waters live set in MP3 format, and I was labeling each song that I like from this album. Forget the name of it. It had a T or a TR. It's French or Canadian. I don't know where the location was that it was recorded at. But I'd say every song except one or two were just outstanding. And I even kept those other one or two songs because they were really good blues songs, although not quite as soulful or emotionally energizing as the other tracks. But what was novel, not novel, but very unusual for me these days was I was enjoying it, and I could attend to this process for 10 or 15 minutes without feeling overwhelmed or immediately needing to detach from the listening process. And I was able to locate the album artwork from an online search, and got through the album. And so that kind of balanced and integrated cognitive access within me has been blocked for some time, because I've got, again, this giant obstruction within me that is increasingly compromised and eclipsed my mental functioning. But just 20 hours of not eating, lo and behold, was all it took to really dampen the movement and the progress of this energy within me. This energy that is not helping me. So yeah, and prior to this, yes, I think I had a whole bunch of times where I felt pressure in my heart muscle, directly related to the eating. But now it's like my whole body is impacted by this, by the overindulgence of my taste buds and my esophagus and my stomach. And I'll just tell you, it is so hard to do my job and to carry out these endless cognitive tasks in my job that have no emotional resonance in me. Most of them don't. It's hard not to do that without numbing my body with a lot of food that I don't need. If I were retired right now and I can just lie in bed and wait 6 to 8 hours for her to have to go to work or something, if I were able to do that and I had nothing that I had that I was compelled to attend to, it's likely I would have broken free already. But I've been doggedly, first of all, I can't afford to retire right now. Two, my mom is not independently wealthy. If she's around another 10 or 20 years, she's barely going to make it financially. It is not easy. And, you know, her Social Security is not keeping up with her. With her material, you know, the cost of living for her, and I need to work until I have maxed out my Social Security and my state of Hawaii Department of Education pensions. And I hope to make it another 8 years, which is, I think, wishful thinking, but. It was one of my pacts with God, you know, or at least my declarations, was that my life would be in the service of God and that I would be writing a new Bible. No offense to the current Bible, but I wanted to write something that would be of tremendous spiritual value to others, or at least to some people. You know, not necessarily in contradiction to, or, you know, to the, you know, replacing of, you know, feel free to choose whatever holy books you want, but I wanted to add to the pile that should be read or considered, you know, to be relevant, insightful, and perhaps updated teachings for this era. And so I think that is where I am right now. God has provided me with direct confirmation that the well-being of my body and mind is directly related to the quantity and quality of my material intake. And to the extent that I abuse my physical inputs, that will be reflected in compromised physiologic and cognitive and emotional functioning. so what I think is, given how really disastrous her attacks have been on my brain, and actually the last couple of days, I had relatively decent Tuesday, and even continuing somewhat into Wednesday, where even though I was eating a fair amount, more than I should, I was still benefiting from those 20 hours that I didn't eat and that I had persisted through attacks on my, you know, enticements and attacks meant to cause me to eat. You know, I barreled through those pretty easily on Monday. And so I was still on the, you know, benefiting, you know, living off the fumes of that somewhat even on Wednesday. But when I last fasted, I think it was 4 days in early March of this year, so like 9 months ago, I think I, you know, those 4 days resulted in like a few weeks of decreased compromising of my body. And, you know, I don't know if that's, if when I'm successful in fasting or, you know, reducing input, if that causes her to slip, to demoralize her, to cause her to maybe seek out the solace of the sexual domination she has of the man, the boy, who is now a man, that she gave her virginity to, whatever it was, you know, five and a half years ago, or whoever it is that she might be with, then that causes her to kind of have a, or it makes it more likely that she will trip up and stumble a few times out of frustration. And, you know, for me, that would be like overeating. For her, it would be, you know, fucking and dominating an actual guy in her arms, which would then deplete or diminish the etheric control over me, because she, or, you know, by definition would have to be oriented to him, or at least much more so, because they have this capacity to be operational, you know, dually, in their projected form, and then in the sphere around their body, and the etheric energy, which is considerable, that they amass around themselves and can project through the ethers or through Amrit Nadi, which is some, I'm not sure, you know, but it's a more of a, I don't know if it's a time space transcendence portal continuum dimension, I'm not, you know, whatever it is, there's something a little bit different going on there, in my opinion, but it's still in the same ballpark of subtle reality. So I need to be, so what God's telling me right now is that you better be damn controlled, austere, purposeful, intentional with your diet. And probably, you know, of course, you know, energy, you know, probably listening to too many political podcasts is diminishing me emotionally. I've developed a habit of doing that for hours at a time now, which basically freezes the emotional functioning of my body mind, fills my brain with just noise. But you know, I've learned a lot, but you know, it hasn't benefited me on the subtle level at all. But I think the timelines have become accelerated, and the takeover, if she's able to really take over my body, it will result, I think she will get closer to her desired result or desired goal of destroying my heart, because she has continued to shock or attempt to, what's the word for it? Blow, when you blow out a fuse, you know, but, you know, to destroy my heart through just an overwhelming etheric force on her part. And that may be possible if enough of my body and mind are under her thrall. You know, there's probably, there'll come a time, there could come a time for the failed aspirant who doesn't have his physical environment and subtle environment, you know, under control, or, you know, supporting his higher aspirations. She'll be able to end me once and for all. And, but by the same token, if I'm able to turn that around even a little bit, the gains are great. Because that night of Monday night with 80% reduction, I was really feeling almost giddy, almost high, almost happy, because I felt that that effort and that success in terms of not eating resulted in a considerable boost to my emotional, physical, and cognitive functioning. It was mind-blowing, because I had been depressed for so long that I just hadn't felt that in a long, long time. And so I'm going to call it miraculous. It was just miraculous. So I think that's about it. You are what you eat, and you are a whole lot more than that as well, but you are certainly what you eat. And the body's conversion of food to spiritual energy is a miraculous biochemical and etheric process. And we need to do everything to support physical, emotional, cognitive, and subtle aspiration and energy and demonstration of groundedness, force, and dedication to the Holy Spirit. Actions, intentions, behaviors, thoughts in the service of the Lord. That's it for now. Wishing everybody the very best, most auspicious, most fulfilling outcomes to their spiritual path. There will likely be pain, even considerable pain, along the way. I am sure there's far more to be experienced on this path. I don't regret anything on my path. We are here to learn. From all the experiences that we have had and are having and will have, it's all part of an ongoing fulfillment of God's purpose for us. And, you know, not to rationalize, you know, less than optimal choices, but we make the choices that we make for a reason. And we learn the lessons that we learn for a reason. And it's up to us to make the most of all of that. This notion of self-determination, self-awareness, autonomy, and sublimation of all of our aspirations to the highest spiritual purpose possible. These are all, it's all part of the path, and so do not shirk any of it. Try not to lie to yourself to reduce what you think is a negative outcome that is, you know, maybe your just desserts for something. Take it all on. Take responsibility. Take ownership. Try to delight in it and be grateful and humble for the lessons you are learning, and try to view all of it as a means of service to others. May God light your path. May you fare well and be grateful for everything that befalls you, and may you leave this world in a better place than the world that you first encountered before you knowingly set upon your spiritual path. Amen.